Good morning, boys and girls. This is Miss Dottie and
Miss Fran.
We have several stories to share with you today. The littles are going to have some things happen to them when a big blizzard or a snowstorm is going on outside. You'll also hear about a real blizzard that happened over 100 years ago. We also have some poems and stories about animals that we think you will enjoy. The first one is called The Littles and the Secret Letter. Wait until you hear what Lucy does and Tom has to help her out of a not-so-good situation. This is The Littles and the Secret Letter by John Peterson, adapted by Teddy Slater. Tom and Lucy Little watched Henry Big's birthday party from their secret lookout place. "I wish we could really go to the party," Lucy said sadly. "Well, we can't," her brother said. Tom and Lucy's whole family lived inside the walls of Mr. and Mrs. Big's house. There was plenty of room for them because the Littles were very, very small. None of the Bigs even knew they were there. "I don't see why we always have to hide from the Bigs," Lucy said. "I want to be friends with Henry." "We Littles don't need to be friends with the Bigs," Tom said. "We have each other." Lucy thought about it. She could see that Tom was right. They always had good times with their family. Uncle Pete was a great darts player. Granny Little made the most wonderful dolls. And every Sunday night, the whole family played Go Fish. And yet, as she looked out at the party, Lucy wished for a friend her own age. "I bet Henry would like me if he got to know me," she said. "Forget it," said Tom. "The Bigs must never know a thing about us. They might think we're animals and lock us up in a zoo." Lucy's face turned pale. "Oh, Tom," she cried. "I did a terrible thing. I wrote Henry a letter and put it with his presents next to the card I made him." "Oh, no," Tom said. "I've got to get that letter before Henry reads it." He ran to the elevator and climbed inside. The Littles' elevator was made from a tin can. It went up and down between the walls. Tom rode down to the living room floor. Henry and his friends were playing pin the tail on the donkey, so no one saw Tom scoot across the room. Tom looked up, up, up at the Bigs' table. It was covered with cards and presents. Hand over hand, Tom inched his way up the lamp cord. It felt like forever before he reached the top. Tom climbed onto a gift box and looked around. He spotted Lucy's letter and quickly snatched it up. But before he could grab the birthday card, Tom heard Mrs. Big speak. "There's just enough time to open the presents before we cut the cake," Mrs. Big said. And all the children ran to the table to see Henry's present. Tom leaped into a pot of ivy to hide. He wished he had on his green shirt instead of the red one. Someone might see him. Then Tom had an idea. He pulled a green leaf around him. Now he was safe. Henry started opening his cards and presents. Tom held his breath when Henry got to Lucy's card. "It's so tiny," Mrs. Biggs said. "Who's it from?" "It's from some girl named Lucy Little," Henry said. "Who's she?" Mrs. Biggs asked. "I don't know," Henry said. "Somebody must be playing a joke on me." He tossed the card aside and opened his next present. At last, it was time for the cake. Henry and his friends went into the kitchen. This was Tom's chance to get away. Lucy was waiting when Tom stepped out of the elevator. "You got my letter," she said. "You saved us." Together, Tom and Lucy tore up the letter. Then Lucy gave her big brother a big hug. "I still wish we had some other children to play with," Lucy told Tom. "But I know I'll never find a better friend than you." And you know, they were very happy, Lucy and Tom. There are other things that can make you happy also. And there's a book that Charles Schulz, who wrote the comic strip Peanuts, and it's all about Snoopy. He wrote a book called Happiness is a Warm Puppy. Here's something else that might make you happy. An umbrella on a rainy day and a new raincoat. Or happiness, especially this time of year, could be a pile of leaves. Happiness is an A on your spelling test. Or happiness could be opening your front door and finding someone you like standing there. Happiness is three friends in a sandbox and no one fighting. Happiness is finally getting the sliver out. You know, when you have a splinter in your finger and your mom finally gets it out for you, that could be happiness. Happiness is lots of candles on your birthday cake. Happiness is growing tall enough to be able to reach the doorknob. Happiness could be knowing all the answers. Or happiness could be just having a nightlight. Happiness is a brand new box of crayons. Happiness could be hiccups after they've gone away. Or maybe happiness could be a good old-fashioned game of hide-and-seek. Happiness is a fuzzy sweater on a cold day. Happiness is walking in the grass in your bare feet. Happiness is finding out that you have a piece of fudge all to yourself.
I would certainly like that. I love fudge. Miss Dottie mentioned that we were going to hear about a blizzard. Well, a blizzard is when there's lots and lots of snow outdoors, and it keeps snowing, and it piles up. So the littles and the big blizzard, they're going to get stuck in the blizzard. Someone is going to get stuck. And listen to Cousin Dinky's mother is going to get lost in this blizzard. So this is The Littles and the Big Blizzard by John Peterson, adapted by Teddy Slater. William Little was very small. In fact, he was only 6 inches tall. Now, he's the daddy. But he had a very big family. And Mr. Little's family was about to get an even bigger. His wife was expecting a baby, any time now. Tom and Lucy Little could not wait to meet their new brother or sister. Granny Little and Uncle Pete were just as excited. Now, they all lived together inside the wall of the Biggs house. "I hope Aunt Lily gets here soon," Mrs. Little said. "I can't have this baby without her." Aunt Lily was a nurse. Her son Dinky was a pilot. He was going to fly her from their house to the Biggs' house in his glider. But this was no night for flying. A big blizzard was blowing. "Check your parachute, Mother," Dinky yelled. "We're in for a rough ride." "I'm all set," Aunt Lily said. "Let's go." The howling winds tossed the glider up and down and around and around. Dinky could hardly see where he was going. But finally, Dinky spotted the bright light on the big front porch. He carefully guided the tiny plane onto the roof. Dinky jumped out of the glider. "We made it," he cried. But when he turned to help his mother out of her seat, the seat was empty. "Oh, no," Dinky cried. "Mother must have fallen out." Dinky took off again. All night long, he searched for his mother, but all he could see was the swirling snow. As a new day dawned, Dinky finally gave up and flew back to the Biggs' house. "My poor mother is lost in a storm," he told the others. "You men must find her." "It's hopeless," Dinky sighed. I looked everywhere, but you were way up in the air," Mr. Little said. "We can look from the ground." "It might take us all day to walk that way far," Dinky said. "No problem," said Tom. "We can get Hildy to carry us." Hildy was a Biggs' cat and a fine friend of Tom's. She was the only Big who even knew that the Littles existed. Tom asked Hildy to help them. She seemed to understand. The three little men and Tom climbed onto Hildy's back, and they headed for the cold, cold outdoors. The snow had stopped falling. The whole world was sparkling white. Tom steered the big cat by gently tugging on her ear. Hildy picked her way through the cold snow. "What's that?" Uncle Pete called. "Something was moving under the bush." Oh, it was only a rabbit. Hildy walked on. The Littles kept their eyes open for any sign of the tiny nurse. "Look there," Tom shouted. "It's Mother's parachute. And I can see her footprint in the snow." "Let's follow them." Aunt Lily's tracks went this way and that way and that way and this way. They finally ended right at the Biggs' house. Tom and the men jumped off Hildy and ran to the secret door that led to the Littles' apartment. Mr. Little could hear strange sounds in the bedroom. Slowly he opened the door. There was Aunt Lily. Mrs. Little was sitting up in bed with a soft pink bundle in her arms. Granny and Lucy were sitting next to her. "Aunt Lily," Tom cried, "we've been looking all over for you." Aunt Lily put her finger to her lips. "Hush," she said. "You'll wake up your sister. Come here, Tom and Lucy. Look at the baby Betsy. She is so tiny." So that was the big blizzard for them. Now, there really was a big blizzard many, many years ago. In fact, 123 years ago. It was in 1888. And nobody is alive now that would remember this blizzard, but many people have written stories about it. And I have looked at a few of the stories, and I'd like to just tell you a few things that happened in this big, big, bad blizzard. It sort of reminded me of what we have just gone through in this area about the hurricane. So many years ago, 123 years ago, there was a great blizzard in this area. It was considered the greatest blizzard in American history. There were strong warm winds coming up from Florida and very cold winds coming down from Canada. These met on a Sunday evening and made an icy wall of air more than 1,000 miles long from Florida to Canada. These winds had rain in them, and the heavy rain quickly froze to snow. The air began swirling in circles, and the winds were going from 60 to 90 miles an hour, which, with our current hurricane that we just had, the winds were about that, too. The storm struck the capital city of the United States, Washington, D.C. It took roofs off of houses and it tore trees out of the ground, just like the hurricane did recently. Ships in the harbor were smashed, and telephones and telegraph lines fell down. Hundreds of towns were completely isolated, which means that no one could get to them because there was so much snow on the roads. On Monday morning, many people tried to get to work, but when they opened their doors, there often was a solid wall of snow about 30 or 40 feet high. This would be over the roof of a house. Trains stopped, and firemen had to rescue the passengers. Some people tried to use a horse-drawn carriage, but the horses couldn't get through the snow either. Because the electric wires were down, the electric company shut off all power. So after sunset on Monday, the only lights that were seen were candles and lanterns. The storm was in many, many places and states. Washington, D.C., Virginia, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and other places too. Trains were stopped and passengers were stranded, which means they couldn't go anyplace. One conductor on a train walked for 6 hours to cover 1 mile to get to a place where he could notify a small town that his train needed food for the passengers and coal for his train. 40 men went to their rescue and brought some things to the train. The next day, the passengers were rescued. They were giant snow piles on the tracks, and the train just could not move. The storm lasted from Sunday until Wednesday, when temperatures climbed up quickly and people set about helping each other get their lives back to normal. The first problem was to clear the roads. In New York City, they shoveled the snow into wagons and dumped it into the river. In the country, strong farmers helped each other shovel the roads and the houses out of the big piles of snow. It took many days and weeks to get the electric wires and the telephones and the telegraphs back working again. In England, to this day, they call it the American Blizzard. Many people remember most that people helped each other through this bad storm and after it too. This is what people are doing today after the hurricane that we have had recently. People are helping people from many places to put their world back together again.
It's nice when people work together like that.
Yes, it is. I don't think I'd like to be in a blizzard. The hurricane was bad too, but
so
the blizzard,
much
yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is another book called The Snowy Day, and it's written by Ezra Jack Keats. And it's another story about snow, but nothing like that great blizzard. One winter morning, Peter woke up and looked out the window. Snow had fallen during the night. It covered everything as far as he could see. After breakfast, he put on his snowsuit and ran outside. The snow was piled up very high along the street to make a path for walking. Crunch, crunch, crunch. His feet sank into the snow. He walked with his toes pointing out. He walked with his toes pointing in. Then he dragged his feet slowly to make tracks. And he found something sticking out of the snow that made a new track. It was a stick. A stick that was just right for smacking a snow-covered tree. And down fell the snow, plop, on top of Peter's head. He thought it would be fun to join the big boys in their snowball fight, but he knew he wasn't old enough, not yet. So he made a smiling snowman, and he made snow angels. He pretended he was a mountain climber. He climbed up a great big tall heaping mountain of snow and slid all the way down. He picked up a handful of snow and another and then still another. He packed it round and firm and put the snowball in his pocket for tomorrow. Then he went into his warm house. He told his mother all about his adventures while she took off his wet socks. And he thought and thought and thought about them. Before he got into bed, he looked in his pocket. And guess what? His pocket was empty. The snowball wasn't there. He felt very sad. Can you figure out what happened to that snowball? While he slept, he dreamed that the sun had melted all the snow away. But when he woke up, his dream was gone. The snow was still everywhere, and new snow was falling. After breakfast, he called to his friend from across the hall, and they went out together into the deep, deep snow. And in a couple of months, when the weather gets colder, we may have a snowstorm like that.
But remember, don't put the snowball in your pocket and bring it in the house to keep it. It will melt. Now, we've also talked about Hildy the cat, and we have a story today about millions of cats. It's by Wanda Gugg. Once upon a time, there was a very old man and a very old woman. They lived in a nice, clean house, which had flowers all around it, except where the door was. But they couldn't be happy because they were so very lonely. "If we only had a cat," sighed the very old woman. "A cat?" asked the very old man. "Yes, a sweet little fluffy cat," said the very old woman. "I will get you a cat, my dear," said the very old man. So the very old man went looking for a cat. He found cats here, cats there, cats and kittens everywhere, hundreds of cats, thousands of cats, millions and billions and trillions of cats. "Oh," cried the old man joyfully, "now I can choose the prettiest cat and take it home with me." So he chose one. It was white. But just as he was about to leave, he saw another one, all black and white, and it seemed just as pretty as the first. So he took that one too. But then he saw a fuzzy gray kitten way over here, which was every bit as pretty as the other ones. So he took that one too. And now he saw one way down in the corner, which he thought was too lovely to leave. So he took that one too. And just then, over here, the very old man found a kitten, which was black and very beautiful. "It would be a shame to leave that one," said the very old man. So he took that one too. And now, over there, he saw a cat which had brown and yellow stripes, like a baby tiger. "I simply must take that one," he cried. So it happened that every time the very old man looked up, he saw another cat, which was so pretty he could not bear to leave it behind. And before he knew it, he had chosen all the cats. And so he went back over the sunny hills and down through the cool valley to show all his pretty kittens and cats to the very old woman. It was very funny to see those hundreds and thousands and millions and billions and trillions of cats following him. They came to a pond. "Mew, mew, mew, we are thirsty," cried the hundreds of cats, thousands of cats, millions and billions and trillions of cats. "Well, here is a great deal of water in this pond," said the very old man. Each cat took a sip of water, and the pond was gone. They drank all the water. "Mew, mew, now we are hungry," said the hundreds of cats, thousands of cats, millions and billions and trillions of cats. "There is much grass on the hill," said the very old man. Each cat ate a mouthful of grass, and not a blade was left. All the grass was gone.
Pretty soon, the very old woman saw them coming. "My dear," she cried, "what are you doing? I asked for one little cat, and what do I see? Cats here, cats there, cats and kittens everywhere. Hundreds of cats, thousands of cats, millions and billions and trillions of cats." "But we can never feed them all," said the very old woman. "They will eat us out of house and home." I never thought of that, said the very old man. What shall we do? The very old woman thought for a while. Then she said, I know. We will let the cats decide which one we should keep. Oh, yes, said the very old man. And he called to the cats, which one of you is the prettiest? I am. I am. No, I am. No, I'm the prettiest. I am. No, me. I am. No, I am, cried thousands and thousands and hundreds and millions and billions and trillions of voices, for each cat thought itself the prettiest, and they began to quarrel. They made such a great noise that the very old man and the very old woman ran into the house as fast as they could. They did not like such quarreling. But after a while, the noise stopped, and the very old man and the very old woman peeped out of the window to see what had happened. They could not see a single cat. I think they must have all gone away, said the very old woman. That's too bad. But look, said the very old man, and he pointed to a bunch of high grass. In it sat one little frightened kitten. They went out and picked it up. It was thin and scraggly. Poor little kitty, said the very old woman. Dear little kitty, said the very old man. How does it happen that you were not gone with all those hundreds and thousands and millions and billions and trillions of cats? Well, I'm just a very homely little cat, said the kitten. So when you asked who was the prettiest, I didn't say anything. So nobody bothered about me. They took the kitten into the house, where the very old woman gave it a warm bath and brushed its fur until it was soft and shiny. Every day they gave it plenty of milk, and soon it grew nice and plump. It is a very pretty cat after all, said the very old woman. It is the most beautiful cat in the whole world, said the very old man. I ought to know, for I've seen hundreds of cats, thousands of cats, millions and billions and trillions of cats. And not one was as pretty as this one.
How would you like to see those millions and billions and trillions of cats walking down the road? That would be quite a sight, wouldn't it? Well, we're going to stop now, but we're going to have the music playing for If You're Happy. Remember to do the motions that they tell you, and at the very end, when they say shout hurrah, put your hands in the air and shout hurrah. So this is, we hope you enjoyed all of our stories and things today, and this is
bye for now from Miss Dottie
and Miss Fran. We'll see you again another time.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, shout hooray. If you're happy and you know it, shout hooray.
Hooray!
If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, shout hooray.
Hooray!